go by road. I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain come tumbling.
Welcome to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey, and your host is Shar Shar. How does your garden grow?
We are still in the season of mud, so I found myself kind of sinking down in the afternoon. So I had to put on my wellies, my Wellington boots, so I would caution everybody to not compact your garden or your lawn too much by walking around a lot this time of the year.
We are so impatient at this time of the year, and you will find out from In the Garden with our conversations. As you'll hear every week on this station, it's so hard to be patient. We want to get out there. We want to get things growing. And we'll talk about some of the things in our upcoming shows about preparing for the garden, planning and things. And today, Shar has a great deal of topics of some of the things that you can do to keep yourself busy and keep yourself out of the mud.
Right. Well, start thinking about types of gardening and methods of gardening. This would be the time to think, what are you going to do for your garden plot this year?
I've been thinking all winter, Shar. I really have.
So not just recently, no. All winter long. And I want to discuss straw bale gardening as our lead-in topic for today. And by that, I'm talking about the bales that you may see in farmers' barns and so on. Not the huge giant bales, but the rectangular shaped bales. There's a couple of benefits to growing plants in straw bales. This would be if you maybe don't have a lot of room in your backyard. And I mentioned backyard because straw bales, after a little bit, this would maybe be a con or an anti-growing, they don't look the best later in the season. They will turn gray. The bale color will turn gray, so get that idea that it's not going to be really beautiful. But the benefits would be that you don't need a lot of space. You don't have to bend down clear to the ground. You could maybe sit on a stool.
I vote for that.
Mm-hmm. Less back bending. And it's so it's raised. And the bale can be composted at the end of the year. You can have, if you do have a compost pile, or you can lend it to somebody who does have a compost pile. So, and then no digging in the real hard dirt of your garden background. Like I say, it's not the prettiest, so you may want to put it in your backyard. And if you needed to pretty it up in the corners, after I get done telling you how to prepare it, in the corners, you could actually put some marigolds in the corners of the bale. So when I say straw bale, I mean straw, not hay.
Not hay.
Hay has weed seeds in it, a lot of it, so it has to be straw. And did you know you have to cure the straw bale before you do any planting? And I'm going to tell you here in a second how you can do that. One other thing, location, put it in 6 to 8 hours of sun area of your backyard. And to anchor it so that it, if depending on the shape of your bale or what it does when it gets going, you might want to metal stake it into the ground below it so that it is more secure. And so hopefully it's not sticking out with the metal stake too high. But to cure it, I'm going to mention that you're going to water it for 3 days. You're going to water this straw bale once you've decided on the location for it. On day four, add some really high nitrogen fertilizer. Now I'm talking 4600. This is like urea practically. Or if you don't want to go that route, you want to be more organic, go with bone meal, fish meal, or some really high quality compost. You need to add that in there, sprinkle it on top, maybe separate some of the straw and kind of let it get down inside the bale. Then continue adding the fertilizer and water on days 5 and 6 of this curing process. Now, day 7, stop fertilizing, but keep watering. That bale will start to feel warm because there's decomposition going on due to the addition of the fertilizer. So you're going to feel that it's warm. But let it cool down then. You've stopped the fertilizing, but you're going to keep watering it. But in a few days, the bale will cool down. That's when it's time to start planting. Now, I'm going to mention a few suggested plants for a straw bale. Obviously, one would not be sweet corn. It would just topple over. You would not want a tall plant of any kind. But a tomato will work if you would give it some support, like maybe a tomato cage. You could prop that in there somehow. You could plant green beans. You could plant squash or cantaloupe. Maybe the bush variety would be more helpful than the kind that gets to be like 10 to 12 feet in distance. So things like that. You can plant flowers of any kind that would be about the size of a marigold. A marigold would be an excellent type of plant. So let me talk about how you're going to plant this. You're still going to need some potting soil. The straw itself isn't the planting medium. It will provide the decomposing fertilizer. The straw is decomposing, so it's going to be feeding that plant, okay? So you're going to separate and make a hole with a trowel, separate an area, and by the way, about 3 to 4 plants per bale is about all you should expect. A tomato plant is a pretty big size plant, so I would say maybe go 2 to 3 if you're going to have tomato plants. But separating the space in the bale, adding your potting soil down in there, and then you plant just like you are planting in garden dirt. And you close up the area around the top of the plant, and you still will, after you've planted your plant in there, you're going to add some fertilizer, but on an every other week basis after you've put the plant in. Once that plant takes hold and you see some growth going on, then you're going to go every week, because you have to rely on that plant getting nutrition from that bale. You're not out in the garden or in the ground type situation. So you're going to go every week once that plant starts to mature. So that is kind of the process for planting straw bales, and it works for a lot of people. And I think we'll post some pictures on our Facebook site.
I do have one of some cabbages planted in there, and they have grown. And the nice thing about that is, once again, getting it up off of the ground, mm-hmm. so that you can actually deal with it without having to stoop over. That's a big plus. I've also got one tip not to do. Don't wrap your bale in anything.
Correct.
I've seen people who have tried to speed up the process by wrapping it in a black plastic or a black garbage bag type of thing to really get that heat going. That's something you don't want to do, because right. you can burn the roots.
Yeah, too hot of a situation. I did forget to mention, when you put your straw bale on the ground, you'll want it so that the twine strings will be facing outward, not down on the ground. You're going to have it on that, what do you want to call it? The thin end, I guess, mm-hmm. is what you could call it. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to add that as well.
That's a good idea, too. And you could put a row of those if you have a place.
Sure.
Now, also, speaking of location, make sure that when the trees leaf out, that it doesn't obscure that 6 to 8 hours of
exactly.
sun that you need to grow those. So you might try one. If you've had any success with that, please send that to us.
Yes.
We'd love to show some people who have got success, and we're always willing to learn. Here at In the Garden.
You bet we
no
are.
One knows everything about gardening, and it's so much fun to share. Kind of like sharing zucchini.
Well, speaking of learning, tell me what you've learned and what you're going to attempt with pallet gardening.
Well, I've been collecting a couple of really good pallets. Now, there are some pallets that people are more than willing to get rid of because they're kind of old and they're splintery and they've got lots of knots and they might not look too pretty. But if the wood is good, feel free to repurpose those, and there's a lot of great tutorials, and we'd be happy to share some of those links on our Facebook and also on our Twitter page here at kdwa.com. You can find that very easy on any, and if you'd like to share those with us, we'd like to look at them too. But what I've found successful is the white, very solid, not the furring, but the very solid pieces. And you get about a 1x6 or a 1x4. And you do have to do some repurposing. You have to take the nails out, clean up the boards, as it were. But then you have a building material, Or you can leave them and actually saw them horizontally in half. I got a large one. I got an 8-foot one.
Wow.
And so I sawed it in half. And basically, all I'm going to do is I'm going to create a teepee. And what it's going to create, there's a lot of things you can create out of pallets. First of all, you can make a very intricate square or box or planter. Or you can just saw one in half horizontally, and then you're just going to make a teepee, and it gives your growing, like beans or squash, a little bit of vertical heft. And then you can also put screening, or you can put ties on there to give it a little bit of keeping it off the ground. Once again, anything that I don't have to stoop over
right.
to garden is a great find. Once again, you're probably going to want to put this in your backyard, or if you have more of a rural property, you can put that on the side yard. Once again, you must have lots of sun for these, but it gives you a chance to maybe even grow two crops at once. You can make a teepee and make sure that you're anchoring it in well, and maybe you can grow a ground cover crop, maybe some of your lettuces or something mm-hmm. underneath that. Depends on what you have, but there are so many great tutorials out there. And another thing that I would like to say too is not only with pallets, but you can also use PVC pipe to make a hoop or a cold frame. And this time of year is time to think about that. Speaking of your straw bales, you could put those in a square and then have a cold frame by just setting an old window on top of
sure.
that. You have plenty of height, and then you have the warmth of the straw bales. And then also don't anchor those into the ground. Just keep them, and then you can use them other places, obviously, but then you can move those away once the plants have established themselves. So, like I said, our gardening in the spring is very impatient. We want to get things going, and this is a way to do so. Mm-hmm. Char, what else do you have as far as early spring planting?
Well, for early spring planting, I'm going to go back a little bit to the cold frame. When you are setting up a cold frame, whether you're using an old window, new glass, or even a sheet of acrylic, make sure you allow for that to be raised or lowered during the day, depending on the heat of the sun or the windy conditions. Setting out and hardening off plants that you've started indoors requires a little judgment. If you can tend to them during the day, they can't have too much wind when they are so fragile and like little baby plants, mm-hmm. but they will also fry if too much sun is shining on them. So I just wanted to touch base on that.
And one thing too, I used to work in a greenhouse, and every afternoon, some of the workers would go out and they'd pull the long, long chains that would open those windows.
Oh,
and
yes.
I could never figure out why, because it was still fairly cool outside, but here mm-hmm. they were opening the windows. Well, the glass and the convection of the sun
yes.
comes in and creates literally a greenhouse effect. And you want to make sure that the plants aren't doing what Char just said. They're not frying. They're not getting too much. And they also need a little bit of ventilation to grow well. So if you're going to create a cold frame, make sure that you have some way to prop it up that's stable. And then
right.
also check those to make sure that your family cat does oh. not get in there and dig around. So you oh. might have to do a little bit. You don't want to trap Fluffy in there
right.
overnight. So you do have to have some place where it's convenient for you to go out and attend to, but the results are well worth it.
Right, right. There's a couple of other gardening methods that I wanted to touch on. Vertical gardening, I've seen some in our local community where they've taken boards made out of either cedar, if they've gotten a good deal on cedar, which is typically expensive, but just maybe some used lumber, preferably not treated lumber. Mm-hmm. I mean, this lumber is eventually going to rot, but you want to be careful if you're growing vegetables. You don't want to have the treated lumber right into the food source there. Mm-hmm. But there's different designs, and I don't have any on the top of my head here, but you want to go up with it if you don't have a lot of room. The one thing, a lot of people do tend to put them next to a building. That's okay, except that you have to allow for sun reflecting off of whatever the siding is. If it's dark, even if it's light, it's going to reflect off of the siding. So make sure that you have a lot of water available, a soaker hose or something close by, because anything in a container, whether it's pots, vertical upright type things, is going to have a lot of air flow around it, and it's going to dry out. So Water, water, water is very important. And you'll need a support also in case of strong winds. There's a variety of designs that you can use, but I've seen it used to great success. A lot of people do their herb gardens in a vertical garden. Very good idea. The other thing is something that was utilized in and around the urban city of Milwaukee. I don't have access to them myself, but they're coffee bean bags, burlap bags. And it's not a very big thing, you know, if you can imagine a gunny sack or a burlap bag. What they start with is like a coffee can open on both ends, filled with gravel, put it down inside the bag. And remember, this bag breathes, so you don't have to worry about, you know, air holes or anything, and it drains well also. You put it down in the bottom of the bag, put dirt all around that, and you just keep, and then you empty the gravel. I should have said the gravel is inside this coffee can, but then you raise that coffee can as you fill it so that, I don't know the obvious amount of dirt required, but you can kind of picture what a burlap bag is in size. But you're going to keep adding this coffee can open on both sides with gravel, kind of lifting it up and then filling the dirt around it. That gravel in the center is going to provide drainage and cooling, actually, for the whatever plants you decide to grow in that later on. Another thing is wood chip gardening. By that I mean just lining your walkways in a garden with wood chips. Here's the thing, though. Wood chips will still permit those stubborn, obnoxious weeds to penetrate through. So I would highly recommend putting down a layer of some type of black fabric or plastic down, maybe even putting a row of gravel on top of that, and then put your 4 to 6 inches of wood chips on top of that. And cuts down on the weeds, and then you're having a space that you can walk on without stepping in the mud during the course of the gardening season. So there's a variety of methods for, you know, your gardening and so on. So try any one of these if it applies and if it works for you.
And we'd also like to say, if you have success, or also, if you have a failure with something, let us know about
that too,
because you will save other people lots of time if you share those failures with us as well. And we're going to have lots of photos and links and maybe even one or two of Char's recipes.
Ooh.
During the rest of the season, we're also going to be planning on a location, a recording at one of our local sponsors. And we thank them very much for being on board again with another year of In the Garden. And this is Kelly Casey and Char Char, and we'll be back next week with more In the Garden.
Bye, everyone.
That's In the Garden for today. Remember to tune in for our next program with host Char Char. We'll bring you a full season of information on all things green and growing. From foliage to flowers, veggies to patio planters, we'll share our love for gardening, thanks to these fine sponsors.